تمام.
So I really apologize for that. We have some technical difficulties because the recorded video just hung up. So we, as the technical team, is just trying to fix. As part of the program, we also had testimony. We were going to have a testimony by Sister Kendra and also a special song, but unfortunately, due to the technical difficulties, what we would need to do is we will hand over the time to the the pastor who is going to preach for us now. We will hand over the time to Pastor Jefferson. Pastor Jefferson is no new person to us. He is very well known to all of us. Just for the sake, if there are any visitors, I'd just like to say a few words about Pastor Jefferson. So he's a son of Pastor John Melky, who is our church pastor. He's been appointed as the pastor for Dublin Church, which is a great blessing for him. And as a church, we are so glad that he's appointed as a pastor. And now I would like to hand over the time to Pastor Jefferson, please.
Happy Sabbath, friends and families. I hope you're all doing very well. I hope you can see me and hear me clearly. You know, when you're being introduced by your families or your close friends, it is quite scary what they're going to say. Auntie Joyce and Uncle Dheeraj has always been a part of my family, part of my spiritual growth, and even in my ministries, and I'm really, really grateful. And not only that, as Chelmsford Church knows, if I, the person who I am today, I thank God the church has been a part of it, of my growth. And I'm greatly thankful for Auntie Stella for giving me a wonderful opportunity, and I thank Pastor and rest of the team for inviting me today. Today I would like to preach or share a word with you briefly for 25 minutes, as your beloved pastor, which is my dad, loves to preach that way, 25 minutes, with 3 points. The sermon title today, or the discussion that I would like to have, I mean, the subject that I want to share with you today is expectation versus faith, expectation versus faith. Let's pray before we get into the word. Dear God in heaven, this is your time, Lord. On this Sabbath day, we come to thy presence. Please speak to us like never before so that our life will change and see the things that you want us to see and walk in the way that you want us to walk. Help us to understand your will so that we may glorify your name and be a blessing for many people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's turn our Bible to Acts chapter 3. If you all have the Bible, please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read it from verse 1 to 6. Acts chapter 3, probably I'll just stick with verse 3 to 6. The Bible says, who seeing Peter, that means the person who's a lame man from his mother womb, he's sitting by the gate, and here he is, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for help, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I want to stick with the subject today is the expectation. You know, like, we all have expectation in this world. An expectation, which one side it is healthy, another side is unhealthy. For instance, we raise a kid, when a mother gives a baby out, he expects the baby to grow well. That is a great expectation. It's a healthy expectation that child have to grow in a nicer way, that have be a successful student at the school, successful person at work, and be a blessing for many people. That sort of expectation, which is healthy. But however, the expectation cannot always be real. Let me say that again. Expectation cannot always be real. There are three things that I want to share with you about expectation is, number one, expectation damages relationship. Expectation damages relationship. When we were having a conversation with one of my brother who got married, and it's been an year now, and he was saying, man, like, once we get married, we have all these thoughts because we raise in one family and we go and mingle with another girl comes from a different family, and we have this expectation that girl have to cook some great food, and the way she had treat other people have to be this way, and the way she pray, the way she have a relationship with God have to be different way. So I expected everything to happen, and when the expectation is not met, there is something, conflict begins to happen and piles up one problem after another problem, and you expect that person to change later on and never happens. And what it happens is it brings a damage in relationship. And not only with including a relationship between a man and a woman, how about the relationship that we have with God? Sometimes we pray God, we expect God to say, God, you know what? I want you to do this for me. How about this? Lord, I'm asking you to do this for me. And when God does not meet your needs, but he has some other plans, we expect him to act in one way, but he acts different. And we have a problem in having a relationship with him. Expectations. Expectation breaks and damages relationships. I was actually had a conversation with one of the youth from of an Area 8 church. And we've been having a conversation, and this is what he said, bro, like, I raised in Adventist family. I want to be good, but when I got into uni, I started to do certain things which I'm not supposed to do. And I know it is not right to do. It is sinful to do all those things, but I couldn't help was going over and over again. I wanted to do good, but I cannot do it like Paul said. And hear what it is. His family started to discourage him and put him down. And he came to a place where the expectation couldn't met and the relationship breaks. And what else an expectation can do? Expectation can blindfold the reality. You know, so many people that we, 2020, on January, we were in the church in Chelmsford praising the Lord's name on January 1st, expected it to be a great year, that we had courage to face 2020, that we had a faith that something is greater going to happen. And we had a great expectation that our some marriage is going to go well, our children going to go well, our studies going to be a better this time, we're going to do well this semester in our studies, and this new job going to pay you off well, and good health and good lifestyle. We expected everything to happen great away, but the reality was different. When the pandemic started to happen, where we expected it to be for 3 weeks, and we planned ahead with a lot of great expectation, with a lot of plans to be done. And hear what happened. Instead of going 3 weeks of lockdown, we went down to 3 months of lockdown. And I have certain people who's this morning when we're having a conversation with some uni students, they struggled with their relationship with their parents. And they said, bro, like on 3 months of lockdown, I expected my family to understand me. The parents expected the family to understand something. But when they couldn't happen, relationship was damaged and it blindfolded the reality. And, you know, expectation can also damage mental health. That I was, as I was saying, like, we're talking to university students, and one person said, Pastor, I want to talk to you alone. I said, go ahead, sis, let's talk alone. And they call me on the phone and hear what we're saying. She was crying down. She said, you know, that I was, my family expect me to be certain person. Like, if you're a young people, let me tell you. So they were expected that I have to study well, graduate well, so I get into a good lifestyle and everything. Of course, as a parent, they expected me to do all those things. But in reality, I couldn't meet those expectations. And here what breaks it is that I cannot find peace in the family. I cannot peace in myself. I cannot find peace in the relationship with God. And what I'm doing is stressing out, trying to run away from the problem and just trying to run away from the problem. The more I try, the more expectation has piled up and I cannot move forward. I cannot move forward. Expectation. And here, what is the blind man expected? John and Peter, who's a great miracle workers, who preach the word of God, who do a lot of things. And this blind, this lame man had an expectation that this disciple is going to do something great. But when it comes to expectation, this is what I learned. Expectation and faith goes two different ways. Expectation, yeah, I'm desiring something to happen. Likewise, faith also has a desire, but there is a thin difference. There's a thin line differences. What is the difference is expectation tells God to accept the desire of us, but faith tells us to accept the God's desires for us. Let me tell you again, expectation telling God, God, you have to accept my desire. But faith says, God, like whatever you give or desire, I will accept it. Because with faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith is a greater purpose that we know, greatest substance that we, the evidence of things that walk for not seen, that faith is not a feeling. We don't expect. Faith is a bridge that connects us with God and understanding that whether I like this or not, you know what, God is going to give me something greater than what I expected. I want to read it, a text from you, from the Bible, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28. The Bible says, the hope of a righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. You know, most of the expectation comes from selfish desires. We expect God to do this way so that we can be blessed. We expect to God to give us this person so that I will live a great life. We expect God to bless us with this materialism so I can do it. You know, our expectations are mostly to do with temporary solution. But God in his mind saying, have faith in me because what I have for you is eternal purposes, eternal solution, everlasting solution. You're looking for just a temporary fix, but I'm looking for eternal fix. Expectation. But hear what it is. The Bible also says in James, I want you to turn the Bible to James chapter 4, verse 3. James chapter 4, verse 3. And I want to read it to you in New King James Version. James chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. In other words, we ask with selfish desire. The original version, the Greek word says, like when you go to the deep root and when you find different meanings for it, the Bible says we ask with selfish reasons and do not receive because you ask amiss, and that you may spend on it on your own pleasure. What I'm trying to tell you today, church, that when we have in a relationship with God, expectation is good, but we can't depend on expectations at all times. We must have faith because faith is bigger than the expectation. We expect God to walk, to do certain miracles in our own way. But God said, have faith, because faith is something different. This lame man was asking this disciple, expected this disciple will do something, but he never expected them saying, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. You know, so many of us are looking, yeah, Spirit of Prophecy says that so many of us pray for the smallest things. But the Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy says that our Father have 1,000 ways of things to provide us, which we cannot ask and think about. Just imagine this. How many times you look back into your life that you prayed and expected God to act one way, but he did another thing. And years later, he say, you know what? It is well with my soul. I'm glad that I didn't take that path. I'm glad God didn't do that, what I asked for. If God would have provided everything that we ask, where Jefferson would have been, where you would have been. My friends and families, in the last days that we live in, sometimes we are driven by the worldly things. We are driven by the materialism. We are driven by the current circumstances. Yes, the circumstances looks like it's going to take your life out. You know, after every storm, there is a rainbow. Let me tell you something. After every bad things happens, there's a greater things about to come. What we see is, oh, I'm just going to be in the night all the time. I'm going to be in the dark all the time. Looks like I'm going to die early. Looks like things are not going well. Looks like my children left the church. Looks like my family is about to break apart. Looks like my wife is not understanding. My husband is not understanding. My expectation is about to fail. But it's time to have faith and tell God, whether you do this or not for me, I will still worship you. You still be my savior, and I will walk with you all the time. The greatest evidence that I've seen from the Hebrew boys telling to the king Nebuchadnezzar in front of the high officials and said, you know, king, our God that whom we serve is able to deliver us. We know he's so omnipotent that he's omnipresent. He's everything that I know he can do it. He will and he can. But if not, how many of us have a if not faith? We are so many people are caught up with expectation. We expect like if the church gets with me, I will do something so the change will come. If the family accompanies with me so that I can know that I can do well. But God says, no, put off the expectation and have faith because I have a greater purpose. And like Jesus says, if as an ordinary son, ask a father for daddy, can I have a fish? You think that the father gonna give him a snake? And what do you think about the heavenly father who can give a greater things than what we can imagine and ask for? But what we are looking for, expecting a change for a temporary circumstances. We all dependent on emotions and the circumstances. But the Hebrew boy said, God, our king, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, I'm not going to bow down to your image. You know, I know my God can help me. But if he can't, I'm not going to go against his will. I know my God will help me, surely come through it, and he will pay off whatever I have to pay off. And he knows that he's going to grant me success in what I'm doing. I know he's going to give me the right person that I'm going to live with. I know my God going to do something in the church. I know God is going to do something great. But if not, I'm not going to do as it please. Work on my own way to trying to figure it out, and I can do my own pleasure on the Sabbath day. Or I'm not going to just sit around and mock around and say, yeah, God is able, but I'm still going to chill out and take the grace as an advantage to compromise with my darling sins that I want to do it. Expectation. We commit one sin and expecting God to forgive. What sort of God that we believe? Is our God a granddad who gives us just the candy set? Or a God is a God that you think that he's a genie in the bottle, that every time we desire something that he gives back? Our God is able. Our God is gracious. Our God is merciful. But our God is a judge too. Our God is someone who rebukes our sins. He loves sinners, but he hates the sin. He loves us so much, but he also hates it, and it discourages him, and he puts a sad face on it. He had a sad face. I mean, every time when you and me go against him, and he said, I brought you this far, and you still going against me just simply because you cannot find a pleasure, and you cannot find joy. You cannot find something that it pleases you, just this temporary circumstances. Expectation can break our relationship with one another. Expectation can damage our relationship with God. Expectation can blindfold the reality. There's a lot of people that I was talking to. One guy, he was saying, bro, you know what? I can't take this, man. Like, I really can't take the relationship that I have with my parents. I want to leave the house. I want to go somewhere. I don't want to be with them anymore. I don't want to talk to them anymore. I don't care whether they raise me or not. I'm leaving. I'm going against them. That's it. I'm done. I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to take care of them. I said, bro, how cruel you can be. How cruel you can be just because one person said you can't, you expecting someone to give you 100%, but you saw some one thing that you really hate about them, and you lose the focus about there's 99 beautiful thing in a person. You know, there are so many people, couples, I'm not married yet, but when I give counseling to some married couple and relationship people, I've seen that people say like, I can't live with them because there is one thing that is missing or two things is missing. Yes, there's two things is missing, but there's 98 things that you can be grateful for. And when you keep praying, there's so much greater things can happen. Just like that, there are greater things that can happen in our life, but just because things is going out of control, just 2%, and there is 98% of beauty that we're missing out just because of expectation. But when you have faith, you tell God, I'm not asking you to accept what I desire, but Lord, I have faith that you're going to do greater things. But if not, I accept whatever that you have for me. And Lord, in days like this, Christ is making his way soon. I'm 26, and I'm not ashamed to say that when I look at the newspaper, when I look at Matthew 24 and rest of the Bible, Jesus coming very soon. But tonight, when we close in our eyes, go to sleep, are we sure that God gonna say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or what about that me and my dad having a conversation that we say, Dad, you know what? It is still sad to see that even on lockdown, we do our best for members to hear the word of God, and still people don't take it with a great blessing, but they take it silly way and they throw it apart. When are we going to get serious about the word of God? There are so many people can say, oh, yes, I am a remnant. I'm an Adventist. I got this message. But how much do we know about the Savior who leads this movement? We having so much expectation, but the expectations that when it's not met, we breaking the relationship and we going against God, and we cussing one another within the family. We cussing one another among friends. We cussing among, we going against our people that we really loved. We thought that they're great and they're still great, but we just lost the expectation when they're not met with the expectation that we had, damaging our relationship. Blindfolding to see reality. There is a great God who can do greater things, but we just simply worried about this temporary solution and temporary pleasure. I'm asking you, the Chems Church, today, let us lay aside the expectation and hold on to faith and look and fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to share a testimony with you, and I will finish it. I told you last 2-3 Sabbaths before, when I was preaching on Saturday morning, that we do a youth service for the university students, that we do an open a Christian union, that we actually welcome not just Christian, but atheists and Muslims and Hindus. So we had a lot of people, and there is a one guy, he said, I really want to meet you as a person. I said, surely, bro, like, where are you at? He said, yeah, I'm good. So what we did is I went there and I went to see him. He's about 28-year-old guy. 28-year-old, finished his uni, getting ready to work. He said, I was atheist all this time. All this time, from my childhood, I was atheist. I didn't believe in God. I expected, if there is a loving God, why these evil things must happen? But we were preaching a sermon on the suffering and the evil, so he understood the will of God. And this is his testimony. He said, God, I want you to do, if you're really, there is a God in heaven, like, is if you are somebody that this Jefferson and his team preaching, like, if you are the God that these guys are talking from the Bible, if you are, there is a God up in there, why don't you show yourself to us? Why don't you show yourself to me? I want you to act in that way. He expected the God to work in that way. And this was his testimony. While he was thinking about it, he went out and he got a phone call from his mom saying that his dad is serious, attacked by COVID-19. He said, with tears in his eyes, I'm not afraid to say the testimony that he, with tears in his eyes, he said, Jeff, I thought I'm going to lose my dad. They took him in the ambulance and they're about to leave and they left. I thought, that's it, my dad is gone. In the lockdown, I just listening to your sermon on Saturday, and Saturday evening, here it is, my dad was about to be taken in the ambulance. But I said, Lord, I expect you to come and see me. But right now, things are going different way than I expected. But I believe you for the first time. If you have anything that you can do, save my dad somehow. But if not, I believe you are there because you made me to pray to you. This was his prayer. And week after, his dad came back and he said, man, I know my dad is still struggling and he's getting over it slowly. But I cannot imagine. There is a loving God. There is a God that he cares and prays. And Jefferson, this is my testimony. He encountered with me. Now, right now, I don't know what is going to happen in the future. I have no more expectation, but I have faith that whether God going to do my way or his way, I'm still going to believe in him. How many of us, church, that we having faith in God? Or do we really have faith, or do we really have a selfish expectation? If we have faith, or if you have expectation that you said, I must have faith from today onwards, I got to be serious in having a relationship with God. I cannot play games anymore. I don't have time to mock around, just come to church like a part-time Christian. Let me remind you again, for a long time that I've been saying, a part-time Christian cannot defeat the full-time evil. You're expecting to defeat the addiction. You're expecting you to overcome. There are something that killing you and your family. You're expecting some change to happen from the evil, from the suffering. And you're expecting to do all those things while you're just coming to church 9 to 1. And you're just praying 10 seconds a week. And you're just thinking, God is there. I'm an Adventist. I'm a Christian. But I'm still don't believe in God that much. We act like one. Let me tell you today. Let's take a commitment and said, God, I need a personal relationship with you. I have a beautiful message about Sabbath. I have a beautiful message about sanctuary. All this time I was expecting you to work in way, but Lord, this is a time that I must have faith. If you believe that, I want you to close your eyes wherever you are. I'm going to make a commitment prayer. Dear God in heaven, I'm praying for the viewers on Zoom, on YouTube, or wherever they are, Lord. Even if they're going to watch this sermon after weeks, after days, after years, I pray, Lord, for the individual. It is not me, Lord. It is the work of the Holy Spirit has spoken today that we must not have expectations, but we must have faith. Because of there's a lot of expectations that we had among families, among friends, among church members. We broke down, we damaged great relationships, Lord, but I'm praying today, heal us, Lord. And grant us wisdom and grant us heart that we will have faith, knowing that all things work good for those who are called for your purpose. Oh Lord, I pray, we're living in those last days and we are so worried about the small material things, a position, or some sort of lusty relationships. Arouse our own selfish desires to have great materials, great jobs, great this and great that, but losing the focus on seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. And Lord, all these things shall be added unto you. Help us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, O God. We are sorry that if we would have been looking at things in a wrong way, but Lord, I'm so thankful that you helped us out to see in the right direction. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'd like to thank you, thank Jefferson for that wonderful message, very inspiring, asking us the, you know, it's reminding us of our faith and how we need to increase our faith and not stay the same. I know we had a slight change in our order of service. We will now have a special song by Yvette and Emeril Pijinamai.
I'm only human, I'm just a woman. Help me believe I'm all I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway, I have to climb.
Thank you, Yvette and Emeril, for that beautiful song. We're now going to have a testimony. It's not, I don't think many of us know this person. She's from overseas. She's going to share a testimony from South Africa, and her name is Kendra Dodd. So we'll be watching the testimony now.
Hey guys, this is Kendra in Nicaragua, and today I just want to share an incredible testimony with you. On Saturday, March 21st, 2020, as I was praying in the morning, I asked God, God, show me a way that we can be used during this time. That same evening, at 8 o'clock, March 21st, I received a phone call from some missionary colleagues from another organization that asked us if we could help them. They had friends from Colorado who years prior had tried to ship a container into Nicaragua and had many, many, many complications during this process. And he said, you know, they're looking for somebody that has good contacts, that knows somebody, because they really believe that this container can help Nicaragua during these times of the coronavirus. And he sent over this email chain, and I began to read over the emails that started all the way back from December 26, 2015. The fall of 2015, a gentleman came to Nicaragua on a mission trip. While he was here in the country, God touched his heart and impressed upon him to fill a shipping container with medical supplies and hospital equipment and to ship it to Nicaragua to be used for the local hospital system. During that time, he was obedient to the Lord, sacrificed, raised money, got donations, put his heart and soul into this project. And years later, when finally he had completed this goal, shipped it off to Nicaragua. This container landed in Nicaragua in August of 2019, and they could not get the container out of customs. It fell into abandonment in September of 2019 because the documentation, they didn't have proper documentation according to the law in Nicaragua in order to release it into their hands. And so Sunday, we started making phone calls, kind of like tracking down where this container was originally imported to. And on Monday morning, as soon as offices and buildings opened up, we went to the Almacén Fiscal, which is the customs warehouse in Managua, where this shipping container had originally been intaken. And we went and we spoke with them, and they said, no, that container fell into abandonment. It was sent to the subasta, to the auction. And I said, you know, could you tell us exactly what day? Because now I'm invested, and I felt too like God could really use this for his glory. Is there any way that a part of this container might still be around? And so she began to research, and she said, you know what, it states here that it was sent to go to auction, but I don't actually see the date that it was taken out of this warehouse. So I said, could you take me to meet with the gentleman that oversees, the general manager over the warehouse? I'd really like to see if we can track this container down. And you guys, he took us to this shipping container. And by the grace of God, he allowed us to see what there was. And this container is in full existence, not missing one item. 980 items, cases, boxes, medical equipment, beds. And as my eyes glanced over, I could see a box that said, face masks, medical face masks. And my heart just began to beat as I thought about how much our God loves Nicaragua, how much he loves this world. He is right there standing in the gap with us. Listen to what, exam tables, ICU beds, IV poles, nebulizers, oxygen concentrates, monitors, respirators, 50,000 masks, 44,000 gloves, face protectors, 2,200 hospital gowns. We serve a God that loves us. We serve a God that is so great and so mighty that no one can stop him. He knows exactly the storm we're facing. He knew in 2015 when he touched this man's heart to ship this medical container that it was going to be frustrating, complicated, that there were going to be so many hiccups and things along the way just so he could hold this container for a time like this. Fall 2015, God touched this man's heart. December 26, 2015, he began communication. On March 26, 2020, for the glory to God, he gave us the contacts necessary to be able to release that container and get it into the hands of 19 public hospitals in Nicaragua. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. He's fighting for us. He's Jehovah Jireh provider, Jehovah Nisi. He fights for us. He has a banner over us. And we want to tell you, share this testimony. Share it with people you know. Give God the glory for what he's done, and let's let him do it again. May God bless you.
That was a powerful testimony, and it shows how great our God is and how he can do wonders and miracles in people's life. He can make the impossible possible. So to close our Vesper service, can I just ask Pastor Jefferson to lead us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father in heaven, we come to thy presence. And again, I'm so thankful for the testimony, Lord. Every day you have something for us, a purpose for us that we can live by, to glorify your name and to be a blessing for many people and be fruitful in what we're doing. I pray for every single member of Seventh-day Adventist Church of Chelmsford and people who just watching this, the special ones. Lord, bless them. Bless their families. If they have fear in their heart, how to survive, how to get out of this lockdown and live a new life. Lord, I pray, give them courage like never before to stand strong, knowing that they are a child of King of King and Lord of Lord, that they don't need to be scared of any a lack of needs, oh Lord. Let them know that there is a God in heaven who's being their back and protecting them and taking care of them. So let no fear dominate on them. Let the courage of Jesus Christ be upon them. I pray for the people who's going through addiction, struggling how to overcome. I pray that you give them a power over the addictions and let them get over it and live a good life that be a healthy, mentally, spiritually, and physically, God. I pray for the people of the relationship that they're having with the spouse, or the parents and the children, or among friends. I pray that you take care of them. You be the head of the house and bring peace among in the relationship. Let there be a joy that no materialism can take it and buy it. Let the name of Jesus be proclaimed in that house and let the devil flee from the house. Let the devil flee from the relationship and you be the center of the relationship, center of the friendship, center of the church memberships, oh God. I pray let there be a peace and joy be begun today. Lord, I pray that when you're coming in, that every single one who's watching this and myself, please grant us to see you and to praise you and to sing Hosanna with everyone who've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I pray everything in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope and trust that we were all blessed by the program that was presented for our Vespers, especially the sermon. I want to thank Pastor Jefferson and all other people who took part in the program. And thank you all. Have a blessed Sabbath. We will all see you again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Thank you. Good night. Bye.
Thank you, Jefferson. God bless you, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Hey, thanks, sis. Happy Sabbath.